What's up, everybody? Welcome to Comic Book Club. I'm Alex, and we've got another bonus episode of the podcast for you here with two great creators. They are the folks behind Cloud Nine, Book One, The Star Soldier, which is coming out July 7th from Top Shelf, but the final order cutoff is June 1st. So after we talk about it, of course, you're going to want to go to your bookstore, go to your comic book shop, let them know you want the book. We'll get into what it actually is in a second, but let me welcome in our guests, writer AJ O'Mason and artist Dominic Bustamante. Welcome to the podcast, folks.
Hi, thank you so much for having us.
Thank you for coming on. I got a chance to read this book. I love this book. It is sweet. Oh. It is funny. There's big action and big world building throughout. It is cool from top to bottom.
Oh, yeah.
The basic idea, let me throw the pitch at you and then you add on whatever you want. But you got this kid, Cal, who has been through various foster homes. He is not very happy with his life on Earth, and enter a very enigmatic and very attractive spaceman who he doesn't initially know is a spaceman named Cosmo. They strike up a friendship that becomes a flirtation, and then things spiral off into some wild universe-spanning adventures from there. That's the gist of it. That's really, I think, like, of the almost 300-page graphic novel, that's probably, like, what, the first 20, 30 pages? Because a lot happens beyond that. What did I miss in the pitch? What else would you like to fill in about the book?
I would say that, like, the ticking clock of the story, or, like, the main villain of the story is someone who is really, essential to the story. And her name is Andromeda. She's a badass star commander who's in charge of Cosmo. And when we meet Cosmo for the first time, he's on the run from her. So, like, once they decide to take the journey out to outer space, then she's always behind them, and she's always trying to catch up and find her star soldier who's been missing.
One of the things that I really love about this book that I've been trying to encapsulate, and you could probably do it better than I can, but both of the characters have, in my mind, very atypical emotional journeys, at least for this sort of story. Like, there's definitely a refusal of the call thing going on, but both of them aren't necessarily even refusing to be heroes so much as, like, searching for home, searching for family, searching potentially for each other. You're giving me nods, so it sounds like I'm on kind of the right track with this.
Yes, definitely. That's exactly what we've been thinking about. We wanted both of them to just really have, like, sort of like a coming of age story, their own arc, where they each go through their what they needed to be to like go through in order to mature, in order to be right for each other, also, like, in terms of the relationship. So yeah, you're very spot on.
All right, great, did it. Good. I always like to get confirmation when I'm on the podcast. Dominic, I love the look of this book. It is absolutely gorgeous. The colors are gorgeous. The line work is gorgeous. There's some amazing creatures in here as well. Just to talk about the main characters first, though, what was important to capture in Cal and Cosmo?
For the main characters, if it's okay to say, like, I wanted the experience for readers out there, like, I don't know if you guys have any animated crushes growing up, but I wanted those characters to be that for some young readers out there. Their story is that they fall in love with each other, and I really wanted it to be the case for people out there to fall in love with them as well, like, visually, but also their personalities, and also just to make them memorable in a way. With Cal and Cosmo and just any of the character designs for Cloud Nine, my approach was really just because if you look at Cal, he's a pretty simple looking guy. Like, he could look like any guy out there on the street, but I just wanted to give him, like, some sort of visual flares that would make him stick in your mind, whether that was, like, his little hair horns that stick out or the yellow headphones, just something that would really last with people. That was my approach to them.
You brought this up, so I'll follow up on it. What was your animated crush then? And was it the fox from Robin Hood, like everybody else?
It's funny that you mentioned that, because I just watched that recently and I was like, oh yeah, yeah, that's solid. That one handsome fox. Yeah.
What was it then? What was your original animated crush?
Oh gosh. Have you ever seen Treasure Planet?
Yes.
Yeah, that's actually a big influence on Cloud Nine as well. But the main character there, Jim Hawkins, definitely a big animated crush for me growing up as well. And he's actually part of Cal's DNA for sure. That's in the design as well.
Yeah. AJ, what about you? Animated crush?
Well, I can't remember her name, but it's the girl from Atlantis, like the Keita. One from the, yeah, what's her name?
Keita.
Keita. Yeah, so her, I was like, I had a huge crush on her, like, seriously.
That's a great show.
I love that both of you have animated crushes from sort of, like, the weird middle period of, like, Disney Don Bluth stuff, where it's like, I don't know if animation is good. I mean, it is good. Like, they're doing some interesting stuff, but...
Wait, who's yours?
Mine?
Yeah.
I mean, mine was always Ariel from The Little Mermaid. Like,
that's beautiful.
Yeah, aww. But yeah, I don't know. I mean, they're
all... No, that's a great choice, Ariel.
Yeah. Cats from Aristocats. Is that okay? Can I say that?
Yeah, sure.
Okay, if I'm Robin Hood, that's okay too.
Well, what about the rest of the world? Because we start on Earth, there's a spaceship introduced, but then when we go into space, you have these really fascinating ideas that you're playing with. I don't know how much you want to spoil or you want to talk about, but there's some really beautiful sequences here where you really play with color as... in particular, I'm thinking of one moment where, like, Cal starts to go through some memories and explore them that's colored in a very different way. So what was the thought process behind this?
Just in terms of, like, the palette or just...
Yeah, just in terms of the palette. Like, what were you trying to capture? What did you experiment with? What led to the choices to, like, to set it up for people who haven't read it, because this has come out before, like, it's very sparse. There's, like, very limited amount of colors in here, and it's very different from the rest of the book that errs towards pastels, I'd say, in the colors, but, like, it's very rich throughout.
Sure. That was actually a conversation that Leonardo Ito, the colorist for the book, and I had early on, where I was really adamant about just having this be a very, very colorful, kind of like punchy, poppy looking book in terms of its aesthetic. And I think there's like different kinds of sci-fi stories. And I was like, think less Matrix and more Fifth Element. That was kind of my direction for it. And to like everybody's credit on the book, like Leonardo, for sure, like he just completely understood what this needed to look like. There wasn't much trial and error in terms of when we were testing out what the look of the book was going to be. And he just really nailed it in terms of the lighting and the colors in each scene. And you can just really tell that there was a lot of thought and intention behind each sequence. But the one that you just described, where Cal's going through this very trippy like mind sequence in this story, not to spoil anything, that was something that was really like just blew me away, because that's not how I was expecting it to look from just the script and from when I inked it. That was definitely one of the standout sequences that Leonardo really did for me. But yeah, for just in general, it was is very much just like. We wanted it to be like very visually appealing and just lots of things that you could eat with your eyes, basically.
Well, to take it way back, AJ, I believe in the back matter, you say that you have been, well, we both have been working on this book for 6 years at this point. What has that journey been like? And now that you're very close to the finish line, how does that feel?
Oh my God. It's been a crazy, crazy journey. So basically what happened is, we found each other, me and Dom found each other on Reddit, of all places.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, like...
Which Reddit did you find? There's some bad ones, so...
Sure, yeah. There's a subreddit called Comic Book Collabs. Shout out, Comic Book Collabs. I really love that subreddit. I still go there every day. And yeah, so we found each other. Like, actually, Dom is the one that came up with the story idea first. So it was something that he came up with in university. And he was looking for a writer that could jump on this project with him and like develop it. At first, it was thought of like as a webtoon, actually, at first, a webcomic. And then I jumped on board. We connected over our love of DC. We like love DC superheroes, and Dom is now actually working with DC, which is amazing. And like stuff that we can talk about for days about that. and then we just started developing the ideas. I like he came up with the like Cal and Cosmo and who they wanted them to be, and the main villain Andromeda. And then from there, like, we just took it, developed it, basically enriched the entire world as much as possible with the things that we were inspired by as teenagers that we thought could really be cool for other teenagers to check out, like, once they read the book. Yeah, and then we started developing it together. Like, Dom is very much a co-writer with this on with me. And yeah, and then we got Jake Williams, who's our editor, and used to be also Megan Brown, who is now at Oni Press. So we worked with both of them and developed it even further and further. And now it grew into this beautiful baby that we now know as Cloud Nine. So yeah, it's been a really crazy ride.
It's interesting to hear you say that about the beginning of the development, because reading the book, at least in the first part, and I don't know if this is a thing, but it definitely, the thought that went through my head was like, oh, this is very webtoon coded. Mm. You know, you do read a lot of books there that are like, two boys, they end up in the same place, and oops, there's a weird thing that happens that sends them on some sort of adventure. What changed from when you were like, okay, we're going to do this in the vertical scroll format, to clearly we're going to do this, not 8.5 by 11, but just the regular comics format? I don't know.
I think it just came from, like, at first we just actually, like, we in order to test out our collaborationship, if we like working with each other and stuff like that, we did create another web comic that we did together, and we really liked working on that. But like, then I can't even remember how we turned into a graphic novel idea. We just started developing it. And then we thought, like, we started hearing some rumors that, like, YA graphic novels, middle grade graphic novels, they're really hot. Back then it was like 2019, 2020. Mm-hmm. So it really started to be the rise of YA and just books for children in terms of comics. And then we thought, like, why not? Let's take a chance on it. Let's just, like, try to make it as big as possible and see what happens.
Dominic, I believe you were raising your hand. Yeah. I'll call on you next.
I didn't want to interrupt.
No, it's fine.
But I also have to give AJ a lot of credit too for how Cloud Nine got to be here too, because I think there was a part of me that was thinking not so much small, but not big enough. I wasn't reaching for the stars, so to say, with this project. I was thinking Webtoon, and it's not to diss on Webtoon at all. But there was a point where there was a small publisher who I won't name, and I'm still grateful that they reached out to us for this. There was a small publisher who was interested in taking it on. And at the time we were so close to signing a contract with them. And I was talking to AJ being like, oh my God, man, we made it. Like, this is it. And he was like, I actually think that we can go bigger with this project. I think this one's pretty special. So let's just wait. And at the time, that seemed risky because I was like, well, we have it right here. They've offered it to us. And then later on, like in the following year, an editor from IDW we pitched it online, and she found the pitch and liked it and offered for us to officially pitch it to IDW. And had we taken that offer early on, like, we wouldn't be here now. So I owe a lot to AJ for really finding this project and thinking that there was merit to it. Not that I didn't, but mm-hmm. he really believed in it. And that's really what you'd want from a collaborator and partner for this.
Well, and also, not to slag off any other publishers, but Top Shelf means something. At least it means something to me when I hear it. Like, there's a level of quality that is implied by that label that certainly elevates the project. Like, when you see that Top Shelf has put it out there, you're like, well, you know, it's this level or better, potentially.
Yeah.
And I mean, just to get back to the webtoon of it all, it is interesting because once that thought occurred to me, at the same time, I was like, well, this couldn't work in webtoon because the pace is different. Like, the storytelling method is essentially different when you're doing that vertical scroll versus what you guys are accomplishing on the page. So it worked. I'm glad you waited it, I guess, is my point.
Thank you. I'm so glad.
Thank you.
Yeah. Another thing that I think has changed dramatically, and you touched on this a little bit over the time you've been doing this, is queer or queer-coded graphic novels in the all-ages space. I can certainly put a lot of thoughts out there, but I'd rather hear from you. What do you think has changed? Have things opened up more? Obviously, in the United States, we're in a pretty bad place culturally, but perhaps not so much in the comic book space. I'll stop blathering. AJ, what's your take on it? How do you feel about this book being released now?
Wow, that's a good question. Can I think about the answer for a minute?
Yes.
I have something to add to that.
Yeah, please.
I kind of like, this is not to, I love movies and film, but I think that I love the medium of comics so much because I don't know how to say it in any other way, but I just feel like they're 10 steps ahead in terms of storytelling. There's so much more diverse storytelling that you can find in comics. And it breaks my heart whenever I tell people like, oh, have you heard about this comic? And they just have no idea because a lot of people think that it's, you know, just Marvel and DC and superheroes. But I believe that there's a comic out there for everybody. There's a story out there in comics that really could resonate with a lot of people. And I think in terms of queer storytelling that's out there now, it really has opened up. Like you said, like this is a book that I would have loved to read when I was a lot younger. And now there's variations of this story out there for sure. So it's just a wide range of meals, basically. I keep mentioning going back to a food thing. I haven't eaten breakfast. That's probably why. But yeah, I think there's just so much available now, which is a beautiful thing, I think, for comics.
Yeah, everything Dom said.
Good answer, AJ, specifically.
Yeah. Thank you.
I mean, just to keep following up, not necessarily on the diversity thing, but I AJ, your bio leads with you are a Jewish comic book writer. Yes. At the beginning. I'm also Jewish, so that certainly piqued my interest. Why lead with that, though? Why is that important for you as a writer to put out there first?
That's, oh my God, such a good question. To be honest, like it's something that kind of happened recently. It's something that I didn't really used to lead up with. But really, I don't know if that's answer like makes sense in any way, but like actually I read, Magneto, the Last Testament. Is that the
Magneto Testament? Yeah. By Greg Pak.
Magneto Testament. Yeah.
Fantastic book.
Amazing book. And I remember just reading through like everything that the Jews went through, like in the Holocaust and how, like also just how Greg Pak like brilliantly like weaved in together, like the story of Magneto and putting in some references to the like Marvel comic character. And I don't know, something about that comic made me go like, I want to, every time I'm talking about myself as a comic book writer, I want to say like, I'm a Jewish comic book writer. Like, I just want people to know, I want to represent the Jewish people. And I think, and obviously not to knock on any like legends like Jack Kirby and everyone like that. But I remember, at least from what I've heard and did my research on, like, not a lot of comic book creators led with the fact that they're Jewish. Like, they didn't really put a lot of Jewish themes into their comic books and stuff like that. And I wanted to sort of like I wanted to feel comfortable with saying I'm Jewish and I'm proud, and to also, again, have like potentially themes of Jewishness in my comics that I write.
I love hearing all that. Are there themes of Jewishness in Cloud Nine, do you feel?
Actually, no. I don't think there are any themes of Jewishness in Cloud Nine. I mean, if we do a deep dive about it, and I'll probably can't come up with something, but it wasn't intentional. If you can find anything like that. Yeah.
Now, Cloud Nine is being sold as Cloud Nine Book One, The Star Soldier. I know this has been a 6-year journey and we're not quite to release date yet, but are you already thinking ahead to Book Two, Book Three, Book 45? Where are your heads at?
So it's part of a trilogy. Okay. So it's going to be 3 books eventually. And yeah, we're already hard at work on, I'm working right now on writing on Book Three. And Dami is currently working on Book Two, and it's supposed to come out, like, we don't really know exact date, but yeah, pretty soon, I hope.
All right. Not another 6 years is basically what you're saying.
Probably. Yeah. Yeah. Probably.
Dominic, AJ, thank you so much for coming on the podcast. For anybody listening, just as a reminder, Cloud Nine Book One, The Star Soldier, is coming out July 7th from Top Shelf, but you can get in your orders before June 1st. That's final order cutoff, so let your store know that you want the book. Again, Dominic, AJ, thank you for coming on. A pleasure chatting.
Of the day.